Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about how to not go crazy or get cabin fever when it's just you and an infant that can't talk yet and you're with them all day. And for that, I've brought on Johanna Dunphy. Hi, Johanna.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing so well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Doing great. Thank you for being here.
Of course. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah. So I met Johanna at the University of Tennessee. I can speak, I promise. it's not like I'm hosting a podcast or anything. I met Johanna at the University of Tennessee. She was doing the MFA acting program.
Sure was.
Yeah. And then I ran into you at a mutual friend's wedding this past year.
That's right.
And I kind of found out that you were nannying, and I was like, ooh, let's do this.
Yeah, and I've appreciated that you've liked my little nanny updates on Facebook.
Yes, they're wonderful. And that was actually kind of the inspiration for this episode. But before we get into that, let's hear a little bit about your nanny journey. So how did you come to take care of a little one?
Well, it depends on how far back you want to go, but I come from a really big family. I'm the youngest of eight. I have 16 nieces and nephews and 7 great nieces and nephews. And I don't remember ever not looking after kids.
Right.
I even got my Girl Scout badge in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's even a video of me like learning how to feed a baby when I'm like 9 years old.
Adorable.
Yeah. And then, you know, babysitting, of course. But then when I got back from grad school, totally crazy, but my niece, who is older than I am, she has 2 little ones. And she said, hey, I know you're kind of figuring things out. And we're desperate. Would you be interested in nannying? And I was like, absolutely. Cause the one was almost 2, the other one was 3. And I wanted to know them better. And we ended up just having the best time. And, the current one that I'm looking after, is just 6 months old. And, we have great conversations. It's pretty one-sided, but she's pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. And Johanna is based in Philadelphia, which is where Nannypalooza or Nannypalooza East is going to be next year. So yeah, just tossing that out there to keep in mind as we talk through these things. If anything comes up that you're in Philadelphia, because a lot of times it's nannies talking about Chicago because that's where I'm based. But yeah.
Right.
Well, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love stories of how people came to be nannies and childcare providers. Because I think it's always interesting. Sometimes people fight it for a long time. and I think that's, it's just an interesting thing for me.
Well, and you know, this just came to mind. So my parents are educators. They're both musicians. And when I was in kindergarten, my mom was teaching one of these, you know, like music education classes to toddlers. And my mom likes me so much that sometimes she'd be about to drop me off at school and say, "Hey, why don't you just come with me?" And I would be her helper at her, you know, toddler music groups. So yeah, like I'm very much a part of this whole education from youth, from very little kids onward. And my parents are just the most amazing teachers. I was homeschooled for high school, so I got to see them very much in action and figuring it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom became a teacher when I was in middle school. And
oh, that's interesting.
Or, yeah, I guess fifth grade was when she was, like, in the program. And then she started when I was in middle school. And I would go, like, volunteer in her classroom all the time. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, similar journey. Because I went to a Montessori middle school. And so we, like, had days off if you got your work done. And I could spend them in a different classroom.
Yeah, in high school, I think because I was becoming a teenager and awful – my mom was like, you know,
we all are.
It happens. We should all just be like sent to an island, you know, just away from people. Like, but yeah, my mom decided, you know, you should do some volunteer work. And I ended up working at a school in Philly called the Widener School, which is a public school for mentally and physically handicapped children. And it's, you know, it's all through high school and all that. And I worked in the classroom, in the gym, and in the pool because they had a pool. And it was so interesting to be, I was like 14, helping 7-year-olds speak and walk and all those things. It was very formative.
Yeah, I bet. That's awesome. Well, great. Let's talk about when it's winter, you're up north and you are with a baby all day.
Yep.
It can be rough. And it's lovely as well.
Of course.
Babies are so wonderful. But yeah, so what are some of your kind of favorite boredom busters for yourself when you have longer hours, or even just, I mean, just 4 to 5 hours with no one else that will talk back to you in words? Babies do talk back, but not in words.
That is true. They definitely communicate.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, there's a couple things that's kept me sane. One of which is every day I'd show up and decide that we were going to learn new music that day. And I just type something into YouTube. And so therefore, you know, you put in one video and like the next one plays and the next one plays.
Right.
So for a while, like I put in Simon and Garfunkel and see what journey that led us on. Yeah. We listened to the Rolling Stones and the Who, and we'd, you know, we dance. And then I found that she loves a Lorena McKennitt, but only when she's ready for a nap.
Interesting.
Yeah. but I just find her so funny. I think you actually saw my post about this on Facebook, because she really wants to crawl, like really bad. But she can't yet. I mean, at this point she was only 4 months old or five, whatever, eight months old. Every time I see her, she's like a new baby because she's grown so much.
They just sprout up.
They do. Today I picked her up at her preschool and I looked at her, I was like, oh no, did I pick up the wrong baby? I didn't. It was the right one. I just had a moment of fear. But yeah, so she's laying on her belly. She's having her belly time and she's trying so hard to crawl. And she's screaming. She gets this face, but it's determination. And I, to encourage her, I put on Eye of the Tiger.
I love that so much.
Right? It made me laugh. And that's what I found is that the biggest thing to keep yourself sane is to find ways to find the entire experience humorous and encouraging. Because I cheer her on. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment that you can tell that she's like, I've done too much. I can't. I'm done now.
I've used up all my reserves.
Right, right. So I scoop her up and I just tell her, you did such a great job, buddy. And I always call her my little friend and just friendship terms with her, which I, for some reason with her, I feel that's really important. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, but I guess I don't want her to be confused. Like, I'm not family. I'm your friend. I'm here to play. I'm here to be encouraging and caring and loving and all those things.
So wonderful. And something else I noticed that you said is like you noticed that she likes certain music right before nap. So mm-hmm. that's something else that I would think would be helpful, like boredom buster, of taking time to notice those slight changes.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Which can be refreshing in our kind of fast-paced world is that when you are with a baby who her whole job is to grow and explore and
right.
and letting yourself really get in that mindset of like let's grow together, let's explore.
Sure. I mean my big thing, and this is also with toddlers too, but mm-hmm. with her especially, I let everything take exactly as long as it needs to. Mm-hmm. Whether it's food or cause she's recently switched over to solid food. Yeah. So it's been fun to figure out like, how do you like to be fed? What is comfortable? Cause she's starting to teethe as well. And so sometimes if she's interested, she'll take the spoon and, you know, some people may be uncomfortable with how messy she gets or how messy a child can get. And I just say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm supervising the feeding of yourself. I will let you do two little spoonfuls and then I'll do a bigger spoonful. And now you can have the spoon back.
Right.
Yeah. We joke that, I joke with her parents about this, that I call it the spa time. Because she usually has cereal that has oatmeal in it or something mm-hmm. and some sort of vegetable or a fruit mm-hmm. and she'll get it all over her face. She'll get all over her hands, even though she doesn't like to be sticky. So mm-hmm. I always keep a washcloth in hot water next to her. Mm-hmm. So whenever she needs it, I'll wipe her down. And sometimes she'll even wipe her own hands off. It's very funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And if it's at the end of the day, then after her, you know, her oatmeal facial and hand treatment, then we have a nice bath time and, you know, she gets a little rubbed down with lotion and I make sure it gets on her nose, her cheeks and her chin because it's colder here. We're not quite Chicago, but,
yeah, but...
it does get dry. And I turn everything into a sensory experience. Mm. And now, even just when I put the lotion in my hands, I'll rub my hands back and forth. And when I do that, she immediately lights up because she's like, oh, it's lotion time.
Yeah.
It also heats up the lotion so it isn't freezing when I put it on her.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff. Like before the bath, I'll sit her while she's still wearing her diaper, sit her on the edge of the bath and they have a detachable shower head and I'll hold it over her toes so she can feel. So at that point, it isn't about getting clean. It's about what is this water thing?
Right.
So I let her explore the water with her toes. And then if she wants to, she can put her hands in it. And it gives her that sensory time to explore.
Yeah.
Because that's a part of growth too. It's like, yeah. What's hot? What's cold? What's wet? What's dry?
Because it's all new to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's new. Yeah. Everything.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just remembered you mentioned this one too when we were messaging each other. Mm-hmm. I love doing baby workouts.
Yes. Tell me about those.
Well, because she's working on sitting up on her own, I started to do this thing where I hold my thumbs out and I say thumbs. And she now knows that that means she can grab onto my thumbs and she can sit up. It's also how I know if she's done with her jumping apparatus or her mat or whatever else. Because if she's not done, she won't grab my thumbs. Oh. But so sometimes we'll just do sit-ups over and over just with her. And I say up and I articulate the P at the end of the up and down so she can really see my mouth moving. Uh-huh. But then the truth is I need to work out too. So I like doing my own sit-ups. So I'll sit and I'll put her on my thighs and I'll hold her in front of me while I rock all the way down to the ground and then rock all the way back up to the point that my legs are flat on the floor and she's laying on my legs. Oh. And she just cracks up. She thinks it's the funniest thing. And then I also do baby lifts. So I just lift her over my head and I count with her. It's important to keep your elbows close for those. it really works your triceps.
Yeah.
With baby lifts. And we also do squats. Well, I do the squats. She thinks she's jumping. and we can put on some fun music sometimes to do that.
Yeah, but what wonderful ways to incorporate her and yourself in some physical movement and also modeling, you know, healthy ways to move your body.
Sure. Yeah. And because I'm also a movement teacher. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun that I get to do all of my thing, all the things I love at the same time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's very silly sometimes.
And yeah, you put on music and you got all of your
oh yeah, stuff. I sometimes worry that the neighbors look through their window and because we'll dance around. We'll sing songs. Well, I'll sing songs at her and she just looks at me like I'm either crazy or that I'm the funniest thing that's ever happened. And I worry that the neighbors are concerned. Because I'm just dancing around with the baby.
Oh, yeah, but that's great. And back to the idea of just letting things take as long as they take, and letting her kind of dictate when you move on. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing, and I'll post it on the Chronicles of Nania Facebook, but I saw this thing that was like a day in the life of a toddler, and it was like I woke up and I wanted to get dressed myself and we didn't have time, and I wanted to like feed myself and you scooped the food into my mouth as we like rushed out the door, and I wanted to climb into the car myself, and then you wonder why I'm in a bad mood. I'm frustrated, right, that I want to do all these things and you give me no time to do them.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just think that's something really crucial to keep in mind, especially as nannies, because our job is to be there with the kids. And I know that for me, you know, we have sometimes a tight schedule of we're going to Lego club and to music class and to all these things. And I have to remind myself that slowing down and really letting experiences be the focus is worthwhile.
Sure. Absolutely. When I was with the two toddlers, the sisters, because they were older, obviously, than the infant I'm with now. And it was really fun to let them take their time.
Yeah.
And let them explore. When I first started with them, and I have permission to use their names. I've already asked. Lily, who is the younger one, she really didn't like bugs and she really didn't like getting dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember learning that and going, oh yeah, that's going to change.
Right.
And we would go to, there's an arboretum nearby where they live, and we would go and suddenly they were playing in the creek. And it was like, you know what? You can take the time. Like, look at the water. Put your hand in the water. What do you notice about that rock?
Yeah.
And everything changed when I said, okay, let's take our time with this.
Yeah. Because they don't hear that very often.
Sure. And though I do want to say that Lily and Mia's parents are pretty much the best. They're
right.
just
yeah.
amazing. Not just because they're my family, but right. they really are the best. But yet, just watch. And because we go, there's a place for anyone who's listening. If you're in Philadelphia,
yeah.
go to the Please Touch Museum. It's the children's museum. It's giant. I used to work there. I think capacity is something like 3,000 people.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you're a member, there are member Mondays, and we were members. So that means that usually there's less people there and you can really just take your time. Like, how long do you want to take at each exhibit? And okay, you're not feeling cards today. Do you want to go play with the ducks?
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, if you end up coming here for Nanny Palooza, anyone who goes should to the Nanny Palooza should go to the Please Touch Museum, because it gives you so many great ideas. They even have an art room, and every month they change what the theme is.
Mm-hmm.
So you get new arts and crafts projects and new, like different kinds of blocks to play with. And I don't know. Like, I could just go on and on about how great the Please Touch Museum
is. Yeah, that sounds like an amazing museum.
Yeah. Well, and then we'd be there, and then I'd talk to the girls about, well, what ideas did you have today? Should we create a project? And so, for example, I feel like I've gone on a tangent a little bit here,
yeah,
but
that's okay. That's what we're practicing. We're preaching.
Yeah, right. Well, the Please Touch Museum has a puppet theater. I'm pretty sure they still have it. So we went and we would see shows there. And then at the same time, their parents were remodeling the bathrooms. And they had these empty cardboard boxes that at one point housed toilets. And now they were just large, empty cardboard boxes. And so, with a team effort, meaning I built the thing and they decorated it.
Yeah.
We made a puppet theater.
Amazing.
And then I took a picture of it and I emailed it to the Please Touch Museum, and said, thank you for the inspiration. You know, you guys gave us a lot of thoughts about, you know, puppets and storytelling and creating our own puppets. And thank you so much. With love, Lily, one, or it was Lily 2, Mia 3, and Johanna age withheld.
Nice.
And the next time we went to the museum, the email and the picture of their puppet theater was posted right next to the theater at the museum.
Amazing.
So they felt really, really special that they were like, oh, look, there's our puppet theater. They hung a picture of our puppet theater in the museum. So
how empowering.
Yeah, it was cool to see how they responded to that and how hard they had worked on it and the stories that they were coming up with, and it was recognized.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if a baby would like if you put on a puppet show for her.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Because being a puppeteer is one of my many jobs.
Yeah.
And I was just in Connecticut at UConn, they have a Master of Fine Arts in puppetry. I was up there with someone who was auditioning for that. And I happened to go to the puppet museum nearby, and I happened to find a elephant puppet that, and it says my first puppet, and it's soft and squishy, and it's perfect. And the infant that I look after, her life is pretty elephant themed. So I bought the puppet and I brought it back. And even today, the elephant and I were reading her a book. Yeah, and I make a pretty killer elephant noise, so that helps.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that. Maybe off air, you can give me some pointers.
Cool. I can definitely do that.
Yeah, because it comes up as a nanny. It comes up all the time, and I always feel a little embarrassed by my lack of ability in that one particular area.
In your elephant noise category,
yeah.
I can definitely help you.
Thank you.
Because of my years as a puppeteer, honestly, I have this bizarre bag of animal noises that I can make now. Because I've had to play so many animals.
Yeah.
But it works being a nanny, being able to, you know, go through the cow says, and the cat says, and the dog says.
Yeah, for sure. Another question I had was, in that kind of same idea, but slightly different, is do you ever try different dialects with your infant?
I do.
Yeah.
One of my many jobs, there's a one-woman show that I'm one of the actresses for at the Jewish Museum in Philadelphia, and
if you're in the area, check it out, guys.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I play a Russian Jewish immigrant in 1921, and there have been days that I've had a show in the morning, and then I go to the infant, and I can't help myself. I pick her up and, oh, hello, friend. It's so good to see you again. And sometimes I'm Irish because another character I play is an Irish indentured servant. Mm-hmm. One day, I think I was from somewhere in England. It wasn't London. but I was like the kitchen help from Downton Abbey.
Yes.
You know?
Those are the best dialects.
Right? They're so fun. And she just goes with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But once again, it's kind of just about finding your own sense of humor.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that is one major bonus of being with an infant is mm-hmm. once they get to toddler, they really don't like, at least in my experience, maybe my dialects are just awful, but
I doubt that.
They don't like when you don't speak like yourself, but you're just talking about normal things. If I'm reading a book, then they're fine with it. But multiple kids, if I'm talking to them and go into an Irish dialect, they don't like it. They're like, it's not you. Like one of them like grabbed my face and was like, stop it. I was like, okay. I'm really sorry.
You know, I think maybe I'm making up this memory, but I'm pretty sure I had a similar situation. And I remember Mia looking at me saying, why are you talking like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what the psychology behind that is. But
yeah, that's really interesting.
Because if I'm doing it as a character, like in a book or, yeah, like if I'm doing puppet stuff with them mm-hmm. or we're playing a game where I'm not being myself, then they're okay with it. But
because you're not supposed to be you in those moments.
Right. Exactly. But
yeah, how can you just like change who you are?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
And the Little Mermaid taught us that your voice is really important.
Yes, the Little Mermaid taught us a lot.
It did. It really did. Okay, well, when your little one is napping or in bed, although I guess you don't need to necessarily recharge when she's in bed, but mm-hmm. if she's taking a like an afternoon nap,
mm-hmm.
how do you best recharge yourself in those moments of not having to engage so fully? Because the way that you've described how you interact with her is wonderful, but it takes a lot of energy to be that attuned.
It really does. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I nap too.
Yeah.
I mean, even today I picked her up and she was, when I picked her up at her preschool, she was asleep when I got her. Mm. And by the time I got her home, which is only a 30-second drive, she was asleep again. Mm-hmm. And she's been kind of sick. So, you know, like, especially with little ones, oh man, I just feel terrible for her because she still doesn't really know how to, you know, get the gunk out, you know? Right. But she was tired. And, but the second I scooped her out of her carrier, she was like, but I'm awake. I'm like, no, you're not. You're totally lying. You don't know how tired you are. So I brought her upstairs and just laid down next to her. I didn't put her in her crib because I knew that would wake her up. Mm-hmm. So she has a adult-sized bed in her room. Oh, so I just put her down there and I laid down next to her, you know, blocking her in case she rolled over. And we just took a nap together because that's what was needed. But, you know, sometimes I bring a book. Mm-hmm. This is my secret thing. I love talking about her. So I send silly things to friends and to my partner, and I'll post, you know, a silly thing on Facebook.
Yeah, which I love every time.
Yeah, though I did, you know, after the, what was it, the Golden Globes, I posted something that made people cry, which surprised me. Because there was just this scene that I decided to, I wrote it out as if it was a scene in a play, or a scene in a movie of a nanny holding onto a infant as she was, falling asleep, and watching Oprah's speech. And, I don't know. So she inspires me.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about all the stuff in the world and sometimes I get down, you know, I'm like, what am I fighting for? What am I standing up for? And then I have this squidgy little thing that I'm like, all right, I'm fighting for you. So you can, when you've perfected that scream of yours, hopefully the world will be more ready to hear it.
Yeah, that gives me goosebumps. I was raw. After emotionally raw for a while after watching Oprah's speech, I was like doing yoga and crying.
Yeah.
I was like, you're right, we do need to be more open.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely understand how that is inspiring, but also can bring up emotions in people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing too, because just because you're a nanny, it doesn't mean you stop being human.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time just talking about crying in front of kids, because sometimes you have to cry in front of a child.
Yeah.
And there's this moment, this is when I was with the two toddlers, where it was just chaos. Mm-hmm. in a brief moment where the two-year-old, who's still a little wobbly on her feet, was standing in front of me, and I had to let the dog out, and the three-year-old was on the potty, and the dog decided to charge back in the house, flinging the door open, knocking the two-year-old over. And when I went to scoop her up, the door, which is on this really tight spring, the brass doorknob slammed into my head. Yeah. And I saw stars and fell over myself. And then, of course, from the bathroom, I hear, Hannah, can you come wipe my butt? I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I scoop up the two-year-old and I walk into the bathroom and I have tears streaming down my face. I'm not trying to cry. I was just in shock and in pain. And she just goes, Hannah, why are you crying? I said, well, because sometimes when people hurt, they cry. And then I wiped her butt and we continued on with our day.
Yep.
Granted, I also ended up in the hospital that night with a concussion.
Oh, no.
But I texted people in the family to be like, can somebody please come over? I just want to make sure that the girls are okay.
Yeah.
Because I was still seeing stars for a while.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm not really known for my grace. Yeah, I'm pretty clumsy.
But what a good skill to teach to your little ones of that it's okay to cry. And I tell that to my little ones all the time.
Yeah, you have to, you know, because there's a fine line.
Right.
And I think it always comes down to who is this child in front of me?
Right.
You know, you can't be a nanny to the last kid that you were with to the child that you're with now.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're different people.
Mm-hmm.
Their needs are different. Their wants are different. And their level of drama is different.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
Yeah. So some kids you have to explain, like, you know what? Maybe you're crying right now. Maybe that's not the most useful thing.
Right.
Perhaps. Just yep. Throwing it out there.
Yep. I'm going to be playing over here when you're ready to rejoin.
Right. Right.
Come on over. That's what I usually do when I'm like, this is. You're feeling big feelings, but you also don't want me to comfort you. So I will be over here. When you're ready to rejoin.
Right, right.
If you would like a hug, I'm also here for that. But
in my later time with me and Lily, I started to schedule a nap time.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mia was getting older, she goes, but Hannah, I don't want to take a nap. And I said, you know what? 20 minutes. You just need 20 minutes of laying in silence. She goes, but I'm not tired. I said, yes, but I need a nap too. But I need a rest too. I didn't say nap, I said rest.
Yeah.
But then she started to understand that, you know, that was something that was important. You know, we're all still people. Mm-hmm. And we all still need things.
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of kind of like finding moments of joy throughout your day, what are some silly things that you found yourself saying because you're the only one in the house speaking complete words?
Yeah, I lose track of the silly things I say. Like, yep. I'm not even paying attention. Usually it has to do with poop. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
With
babies, that is the big topic.
It is the big topic. And it's usually things about, you know, who is the smelliest baby in the world? It might be you. Did you make that? Is that from you? Like, how did that? What were you eating? Like, you need to stop having these late party nights.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely joke around a lot with talk, not necessarily talking about adult things, but referencing her life as if she's an adult.
Yes.
Just because it makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, like one night her parents took her out to a restaurant that's also a bar. And so that just became very funny to me the next day. I'm like, so how was the bar?
Yep.
Did you talk to a lot of people? Did you have a little too much milk? I totally get it. Sometimes you have to have that extra swig.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love those like little scenes.
Yeah, and once again, I'm amused. And
right.
Does anything else matter? Not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In those moments.
And then, yeah, so there is this like loneliness at times to being a nanny.
Sure.
Especially with an infant, because it like play dates aren't really a thing yet.
True.
Although, you know, you certainly can set them up with infants, but once they get a little older, they'll go off and play by themselves.
Right.
On play dates. But how do you offset that loneliness factor of being with a baby when you're not with her in your personal life? How do you kind of recover from being alone all day?
Well, you know, there are definitely a couple things. Anyone who's in my life knows that right after I'm with her, I tend to monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to curse.
Yep.
I need to get some adult language off my mind.
Yes.
Some parents don't care if you curse in front of their kid. it's just a personal preference for me. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do it. You know, it just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I feel like if I can't get that Jack in the Box back in the box, you know, like if I start it, then.
Sure. Sure.
I just like to keep that as a habit.
That is absolutely a truth. Yeah. But because I have so many other jobs, sometimes I just dive into research for something else. I also keep a notebook nearby for things that I want to explore or work on in my off time. Oh, yeah. Whether it's a knitting project or something that I've been really interested in learning more about. Like currently I'm really into the Muses. Mm-hmm. The nine muses and like who they were and in the whole Greek mythology world, just because I'm interested, you know? And so sometimes that's what I do when she's napping too, is like just do a little bit of research. And, you know, sometimes there's a pint of cider involved. In the off hours. Maybe there's a little wine.
But if you are listening at home and are like, ooh, that sounds great, the wine pairings episode, I highly recommend.
I have a feeling I'll be listening to that soon.
Yeah, it's a sommelier came on and I got stories of Nanny's really bad days. And he paired what he thought they should drink when they got home after that particular day.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was a really fun one to record. So if you are sitting at home being like, ooh, yeah, that that sounds like fun, then yes, go listen to that episode.
Oh, that – you know what? That's what I'll be listening to on my way to the infant tomorrow.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I honestly think the big thing is just being with adults. Mm-hmm. And reminding myself that I am one.
Yes.
And yeah, yes. Letting the things that I love still exist.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, something else that I just thought of is it's kind of accidentally forced me to really like being with myself.
Yeah. That is such a good point.
Yeah. Because I think I'm hilarious. So the funny things that I do with the infant during the day, just, you know, they crack me up. They fill me with joy. So even though there are moments of, I wish there was an adult, I tend to offset it as I go. Because I really, it's not arrogant to say I really like me.
No, it's not at all. And I find with toddlers too, and school age kids, they are such strong mirrors of you. They will pick up even things that you don't know are going on with you. They'll pick up on it, and if you don't love yourself, it can be a hard road because you're with little mirrors all day.
Right. And then suddenly they pick up negative language. And, this is something I talk to my acting students about, which I find very funny, but it works for toddlers especially. It's living in the world of yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in an improv scene, if all you're doing is saying no to every idea, the scene can't grow. The scene can't progress. And the same happens with our souls, with our spirit. If all we're hearing is no all the time, we stop growing. It doesn't mean that you get everything you want.
Right. No. Yes.
But, I remember with Mia at one point, she had some great idea that she just wanted everyone to know this idea, but we really couldn't do that idea. And so instead of saying, no, we're not doing that, we're doing this, I responded with, wow, what a wonderful idea. We can't paint the walls purple right now. Right now we're going to eat dinner, but maybe we can discuss ways that we can play with the color purple later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead of it turning into an argument, it turned into, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times just honoring that you heard them is huge.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, respecting their idea. Katie Leinecke, who's been a guest on several episodes, and I don't remember which one. She's probably said this in several. But instead of saying, like, you can't play with that stick, offer healthy and safe ways to play with the stick.
Right, right.
So, you know, you can't hit with the stick, but you can use it as a walking stick. You can, you know, depending on the age, there is a, you could potentially use it as a sword if it's supervised, and you know, you can set them up for success there.
Right, sure. You could use it as a magic wand.
Yeah, it could be a magic wand. It could, yeah, be a, you could try to find water with it.
Sure. And if they're working on letters, you can use the stick to draw letters in the ground.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do. But yeah, there is this temptation to just be like, no, you can't play with that. And finding those ways to say yes.
And I think that all comes back to this this idea of that patience and understanding that it's okay for something to take time. Mm-hmm. And no is an easy way to cut everything off.
Right.
But it's also an easy way to cut off the kids that you're, you know, trying to support and help with their personal growth. So why not take the time to explore the yes?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Let's end on that, unless there's anything else that you'd like to add. But
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good kind of thesis for how to not go crazy is take time to explore the yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with a baby. There's sure. So many.
I think I'm going to live my every day in that now.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, awesome. Well, I heard you mention that you are involved in a one-woman show. For other listeners that will be in Philadelphia for Nanny Palooza or who are near the area right now, what are other ways that they can support you?
Well, I work for historicphiladelphia.org. And through Historic Philadelphia, there's so much free entertainment, just so y'all know. Yeah. There's starting Memorial Day weekend, and it runs 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. There's free storytelling on benches. There are, there's two free puppet shows on Saturdays right behind Carpenter's Hall. I think it's still going to be there this year. There are people in costume who are portraying people from history. This year, I'm Dolly Madison. So you might see me in costume talking like Dolly. She's a fascinating woman. If you want to know more about spinning wool into yarn or making 18th century chocolate, I'm your girl. I've learned a lot of strange stuff. But especially after Memorial Day, the old city of Philadelphia comes to life. There is so much to do, and a lot of it is free.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty great. That
sounds awesome.
But I will plug that website again because I'm very proud of working for this company. It's historicphiladelphia.org.
Awesome. And if you are in your car driving, fear not. I will post it on Chronicles of Nania's Facebook.
So fantastic.
I'll link that. So go check that out. If you're in your car and you're like, I have no space in my brain to remember a website, it'll be there for you. Don't worry.
Very good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And then we end each episode with a fun story from a kiddo. And Johanna's brought one.
I sure have. So this is about Lily. I've mentioned her already. She's at this point, she's maybe about 2.5. And Lily's one of those kids that really doesn't like pants. Now, the rest of the clothes, totally fine, including undies, but she just was against pants. Okay. And one day I show up and she's sitting at the counter eating her breakfast, you know, and she's wearing her socks and her t-shirt and her undies, but no pants. And I see her then. I said, okay, well, hey, guys, we have to go to the dollar store today because we're working on our project, which at the time was a mural. It was a multimedia mural to help entice spring to show up. So we needed stuff. And I said, but Lil, look, I got to tell you, they need you to wear pants to go to the dollar store. And she looks at me very seriously. Now, Lily also has a lisp. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me and she says, I'm wearing pants. And I looked at her and I saw her logic. And I went, you know, you're right. You're wearing underpants. But to go to the dollar store, you need to wear overpants. And she cocked her head to the side and looked at me and said, overpants? Yes, Lil. Overpants. And that was the only day. It was not an argument to get her to wear pants.
Oh my gosh. Overpants.
Yeah. Overpants.
Yep.
It worked.
That's great. I love that. Oh, yeah. Just the concept of you need your underpants and your overpants. Okay. Cool.
Great. I found her logic.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes you gotta just trace that, go on that ride with them. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing.
You are very welcome.
And thank you for being here today, Johanna. This was delightful.
Oh, Martha, thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed myself.
Yay, I'm so glad. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.